better.
That's good.
Is this all right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Perfect. So just if we can start by just introducing who you are, where you were born, and when you came to L.A.
My name is Teofo Foisia Jr., born in 1944, October 10th. L.A., let's see. We're here in 1955. Actually, we came to San Francisco, and some cousins brought us to Long Beach because my father was in the Navy, stationed at Long Beach. And we stayed with friends and family until we got our house in Carson. That was about in 56. Huh?
Probably, I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, she wasn't around. And I've been here ever since.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. My name is Elizabeth Foisia, and I first came to the States in 1971. And returned home in 1972. Home to me is New Zealand, although I was born in Wailima, Western Samoa. And then I went to New Zealand in 1953, about a year and a half, almost two. And so New Zealand is home to me in Auckland. And then I, like I said, I came here in 71, went back in 72. And then got married with Tuiofu, called Junior. Married Junior in New Zealand, Auckland, New Zealand, 73. And I came back here to live in 1974. So I've been here ever since. But I do make frequent trips back home.
Okay. So I'm going to begin this then by asking some questions about the Foisia family. Who were your parents?
My parents are Tuiofu and Fapio Foisia, and my father's from Manua Island. The village is Ofu, and my mother's from Savai. Do you remember the village?
No, I don't remember offhand, but it'll come to me.
Yeah,
Savai, Western Samoa.
That's in Western Samoa.
Yeah, Manua Island is part of the American Samoa. Islands. That's where his dad's from. Yeah.
And what did they do when they were living in Samoa?
Let's see. My father worked for the Navy. He was in the Navy.
Well, he was originally, they were called Fita Fita in that.
That was like the kind of the locals.
Local police enforcers, you know, law enforcers.
Because at that time, Department of the Navy ran the island. So they were in charge of everything. And I guess he's been employed by the government ever since.
Right, because then he was a Fita Fita. And then from there, he went into the U.S. Navy. And he was a military man. And he retired, and while he was still in the military, he got into the church. And what year was that, Junior?
Yeah.
While you guys were living in...
I was in high school.
You were living in Carson then?
Yeah, we're living in Carson. He became affiliated... Well, he's been affiliated with churches all his life.
Mm-hmm. Which churches?
Well, at one time in Hawaii, we were affiliated with the Mormon Church.
Okay.
And then later on when we came here, we became affiliated with the Congregational Church. And he eventually became a minister in the Congregational Church, Samoan Congregational Church. And he became a full-time minister after he retired from,
from
the military.
Mm-hmm. And mother used to work too.
Yeah, my mother was worked as a nurse's aide.
Was that in Hawaii or?
No, that was her training.
In the islands.
In the islands.
She was.
And she carried on that kind of work here.
Okay. And so your family first came to the U.S., you said, to Hawaii, it was?
In 49.
And that was because your father was stationed there?
Yes, he was stationed at Pearl Harbor.
Really? During World War II or after?
Korean War. World War II. Well, he was in a couple of wars. I think it was, you know, World War II.
And so the entire family moved to Hawaii.
Right.
Okay. So who's in your family?
Well, there's 10 kids. Well, there's 5 boys and 5 girls. And let's see, there's 9 of us left. One brother passed away. You'll be meeting his wife later on. And let's see, geez.
You're the eldest.
I'm the eldest.
I have to. Okay. So Tioff was the eldest, and then a sister Ruta, and then a sister Ruby, a brother James, and then Harry, who passed away in 1990. And then comes Wilson, brother Wilson, sister Daisy, sister Judith,
Betty.
Sister Betty, and then brother Franklin.
The youngest.
Yes, the youngest.
Was he born in the U.S. and in California?
Yes, Frank, Betty, Judy, they were born here in California.
And he was, Tuiofu, Ruta, and Ruby were born in Samoa. And then
3 elders.
James, Harry, Wilson, Daisy were born in Hawaii.
Okay.
And then the rest are here in California.
Okay.
That's
it. And so you first went to San Francisco.
Right.
And then you went to Carson.
No, then the relatives drove us to Long Beach. We met relatives in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, well, the reason why we ended up in San Francisco is because that's where the military flights landed. We came on a seaplane, so they landed Alameda, I think is the name of the place.
Right.
That's how we ended up in Frisco.
And so your father was still working for the Navy when he came to San Francisco?
Right.
Okay.
Well, we came, we all came together.
And how long did you stay in San Francisco before you went down?
A couple months.
Okay.
Not very long.
Okay.
Just enough to tour around and, you know, they show us the sights and off we came. Drove all the way down.
Is your dad was then stationed in Long Beach? Is
yeah,
that what it
stationed
is?
In Long Beach.
Okay. So what neighborhoods did you live in when you were growing up?
Jeez. Mostly in military housing.
In Hawaii?
Yeah, in Hawaii we lived in a military housing.
Where?
That was in Pearl Harbor, near Hickam Field. Went to military schools. I guess we're military brats.
How about when you came to California, what neighborhoods were you in?
Well, California, we stayed in Long Beach.
Military housing.
Military housing in Long Beach with some friends. And then my parents bought this house here in Carson.
How come they chose to come to Carson?
That I don't know. My father just came home one day and says, he was driving around and they're building some new houses down this area, so we came here. And plus
you said that around that time there was
Carson then.
Hardly anything, though. There was like mostly farmlands
right.
and stuff. So he probably, kind of like thought of that more as, you know, back in the islands, I guess, you know.
Well, when we came
wasn't
here, it was
city.
Quite open, you know. That used to be called, our mailing address there was Torrance.
Oh, really?
And so.
Was there a Pacific Island population in the area then, or is that just
no.
recent?
No. That was later because I didn't meet very many Pacific Island people when we first moved here.
Uh-huh.
The only ones I knew were the ones who were in the military.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of military.
I see. So your parents continued to be working for the military when you were in
right.
the area then?
Yeah.
Okay. So can you tell me then about how the move here struck you when you first got here? With sort of the experiences or the memories you have of the impression you had?
Oh, geez. The impression I got was it was going to be, well, they said Long Beach, you know, so I thought, geez, this is great. I'm going to live on the Long Beach and go swimming every day.
Took it literally.
And when we got here, all I saw was these big buildings and
it's culture shock.
Yeah, and the biggest thing I could see was it wasn't green. Yeah, I looked around.
Concrete,
I said,
huh?
Yeah, I said, God, I wanted to go back to Hawaii. It was cloudy, it was cold, and it wasn't green. Because I remember when we got into the airport, the guy said it was 65 degrees outside. I thought it was in Alaska.
Can you imagine? You still remember that, huh? It's the first time I've heard this.
I remember they said, it's 65 degrees outside, welcome to California. So I stepped off the airplane, I thought I was dying. I looked around, I didn't see the sun. I didn't see anything green. I just remember I just sat in that waiting room and said, geez, what happened?
God, that's terrible.
And then they took us around San Francisco, and I couldn't believe the, you know, how it was, it seemed like I was closed in. All these houses were all stuck together.
San Francisco.
Yeah, people walking all over the place and up and down the hills. This is definitely not America.
Not the paradise you were in.
No, it's really something. And the people that we met, they would ask us, where are you from? Well, I said, well, we just came from Hawaii. And they thought we just came out of the jungle.
Oh, no.
And I says, no, we have streets, we have cars, we have buildings. And they thought we were out of a Tarzan movie.
He just swung down from a vine. Oh, God.
That's the impression they had of us.
Oh, gosh.
What sorts of questions would people ask you?
Well, they'd ask us, why do we speak funny? Because when we came from Hawaii, I guess we had that, what you'd call Hawaiian accent.
Pidgin English.
Yeah, and that was the biggest thing, was why did we speak funny? And the second question is, why don't you wear shoes? Jeez.
You didn't wear shoes?
No, in Hawaii we didn't have to wear shoes. We only wore shoes when we went to school. After school, we took them off. In fact, we'd take them off, tie them up, and put them on our shoulders and walk home. and shirts. It was kind of hard getting used to wearing shirts. Because that's the only time we wear shirts is when we went to school or went to church. The rest of the day, it's no shirts, no shoes.
Gosh.
So when you were, how old were you when you came down to Long Beach?
Ah, let's see. Shoot.
55,
11. Yeah, 11 years old, because I was in grammar school. I think it was in 4th grade, or 5th grade. 5th grade in Long Beach, 6th grade in Carson. Yeah.
What school did you go to when you first came?
Ah, yes, I remember that one, Daniel Webster Elementary School.
Where's that?
That's in Long Beach.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we were there for about a few months, and then we moved to Carson and went to Catskill Avenue School. It's still there.
What was the first day of school like?
First day of school, that was the same thing. You know, geez, from the jungle. Yeah, that's us. They call us natives, and I couldn't understand what that word native is until I saw some of the
movies.
Yeah, some of the Jungle Jim and Tarzan movies. And then I knew what a native was. I thought a native was somebody indigenous to the country, but no. The natives were the guys who were carrying the
spears. The grass skirts, right?
And there's the people around here, thought of people coming from Hawaii, right out of the jungle.
Did they even know where Samoa was?
No, they never even heard of Samoa. In fact, a lot of them didn't even hear of Hawaii.
And now it's a state, huh? Amazing, huh?
Do you know what year Hawaii became a state?
Oh, gosh, no, I don't.
But it wasn't then?
No. No.
I think
it
was
the 60s?
We were here when it became a state.
Yeah, I think it was in the 60s.
Because I don't remember celebrating it when.
No.
And what was high school like? Or junior
high school. Junior high and high school, they were fun.
What junior high did you go to?
I went to Wilmington Junior High. By the time I got to junior high school, I was well acclimated to the surroundings. And, you know.
Do you know junior high in Carson at that time?
No.
Stephen White, Carnegie?
No, there was nothing.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
This was farm area.
That's what I was saying, Wilmington Junior High?
Yeah.
How far is that from your
A couple miles we had to walk. Mm-hmm. But by then there was everything was good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
What sorts of things did you do in school, or what do you remember as being memorable?
Memorable.
There are activities you're involved in?
Math class.
Nerd.
That was the only thing I could really understand was math. The kids were good. I met a few Polynesian kids. Uh-huh. And it seemed that their parents were in the military too.
Right.
That's how they were here. Yeah. Mm. Wasn't much in junior high school.
Were there beginning to be places around the area that were important sort of socially or culturally?
Just the church.
The church.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, can you tell me more about the church?
Well, the church, it started in Long Beach. And my dad was the minister of it.
What was the name of the church?
First Time Warren Congregational Church.
And when was ground broke for that?
Jeez.
No.
Well, we had the church in Long Beach, but groundbreaking was here in Carson when we bought a piece of property here and
mm-hmm.
built a church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when a group of them had gotten together and formed, you know, a church, when?
Back in the 60s.
Back in the 60s or late 50s?
Well, the church was formed sometime in the late 50s. They used to meet at the Congregational Church in Long Beach.
The First Congregational Church in Long Beach, which is still there. It's on
it's
3rd
still
Street,
there.
Right?
It's a historic landmark now in
mm-hmm.
Long Beach.
Well, they used to rent, you know, that the church then have their services.
Yeah. Actually, we didn't rent it. They gave it to us free.
Oh, so you guys used it.
Yeah.
Yeah, nowadays, guy, you can't use anything for free. Yeah. So anyways, yeah.
That was in the late 50s.
Right, and your dad was still in the service.
Yeah.
But prior to that, you guys used to meet prior to getting that church in Long Beach.
At our house.
They used to have all the services at their house in Marbella and Carson. You know, just a group of them got together and they just felt that, you know, they needed to worship in their own language. And it was like, you know, I mean, I think that was the only way to kind of like keep that strong tie, you know, to your homeland. And
but at that time, we didn't live close together to these people. They came from Los Angeles. God, they came from long. Some of them were
in other states, but they would
yeah.
come for the weekend, huh?
Yeah.
They'd all stay at your house?
A lot of wood. And
mm-hmm.
How many people would you have during the weekend?
Jeez. About 20 people at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when
but that's not including the family, you know.
Yeah.
So
okay.
you would, yeah, so you would have probably about 40 people.
Because there was
all told.
13 of us together.
Yeah.
So there's 13 in our immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had 10 of us, a cousin, and the parents. Oh my God, and we had other friends staying with us too.
See, that's why I said, you know, all told it would be probably about 40 people. Because when I, you know, when we'd talk and share memories and stuff, you'd say, yeah, I remember all whole bunch of people, I mean, hanging out all over in the front, in the rooms, because we couldn't even walk anywhere. There's people all over the place. So, you know, I could just imagine.
Yeah.
You know, so I was saying, dang. I said, God. He goes, oh, we never had a room to sleep. He said, we always had people there. I
yeah,
said, God.
I guess they call that time sharing now.
What did you call it then?
We were just out in the cold. First come, first serve.
Okay. So, what would happen over just a normal weekend? What sorts of activities?
Meetings. See, that's all I can. Choir practice.
Dance practice.
Yeah.
They would have, you know.
Cultural
those,
stuff.
Yeah, cultural stuff.
Yeah.
They all have it all there at their house, can you imagine?
And then
feeding the people.
Yeah.
Cooking.
And that's how
everybody.
I got away, because they'd be so busy with them that I could just sneak off.
And do his own thing.
Yeah.
How did the word get out to different people? Just Word of mouth,
that's it. And when there's just a few of you, you go a long ways just to try to meet another...
somebody else from your homeland.
Yeah. So they go a long ways.
Plus everybody would more or less know each other. I should close that door.
Yeah.
What was the best way that people got to know where other people were from the same place?
Jeez, that was just it. One would meet up with somebody and then that was it. Just they'd actually search out somebody from the islands. In fact, that's how my father got involved. People from San Diego came to look for him.
Really? So that's before he became a minister?
Yes.
So can you talk about how he became a minister?
Well, there was a church in San Diego, San Juan Church, and so...
That was the very, very first church in California. May have even been in the States, I don't know. Yeah. You know, because it seems everything in the San Juan people back in the 50s, right, in the 60s, seemed to all have centered here in California. You know, and you're talking about Southern California, it's not even Northern California. So, I don't know, I tend to think that if we really look deeper and really search, this, you know, would have been this must be the first church in San Diego. And they were a part of it.
There's a big Navy base in San Diego.
I see.
Yeah. So, I guess a lot of people were being transferred up to Long Beach. So the members of the church down in San Diego came up and talked to my father about starting the church up here. That's how it got started.
I think, you know, to shed some more light, because I think, you know, what you may want to know is why him?
Yeah.
You know, why him? I mean, when there's other people in the Samoan community. I think, you know, getting to, you know, when I married into the family and I got to know his dad, and I really got to witness how people just, you know, came to him and stuff. I mean, he was a very strong, he had a very strong personality, and he just had that take control, you know, personality. And see, when you're coming into a new country and everything, I mean, you know, you tend to, you know, be intimidated, I guess, and just be, you know, not so sure and everything, but he wasn't that way. I mean, you know, he would just forge ahead, and if you didn't know anything, he'll just do it. Or he'll just ask, just go and do it, you know. And he expected that from his kids. You know, if he tells you what to do, you better figure out how to do it. Don't ask how. You know, just go figure it out. And I guess that's why the people just kind of like searched him out. You know, and it's amazing. And, you know, when you asked that, I kind of like knew what you're referring to. Because, you know, I just saw that quality in him. And I thought, huh, now I know why, you know. Why people would just automate, and he never hesitated to put a person in this place. I mean, you did something you're not supposed to do. He didn't care. He'd tell. So I guess that's why, you know, they searched him out.
Seeing that, because to me, it's just my dad.
His dad, but I saw all these things from an outsider.
Right.
You
know? That's true.
Yeah.
So what did he have to do to become a minister? What sorts of things?
Well.
Do you just get ordained, or do you have to go through the seminar? Well, it's amazing because
he went through a seminar, but I guess I would know more about the process. Like he said, he would take off half the time and not even, you know, be involved with things. But I mean, understanding the process, what happened was the elders from our mother church back in the islands came. And gave the okay or the approval, you know, for the church to, you know, to be established, and for him, you know, to be the pastor, or well, not the pastor, be like the lay minister, yeah. But he was required,
huh? I remember that when he came.
But he was required to take the necessary courses here in the school here, in an established theological school, so that he can be ordained. Because, you know, otherwise he would have had to go back to the islands and attend the school there, you know, the theological college there, which was impossible. I mean, he had the family job here, so that's what happened. So him and several other lay ministers here, most of them were all military people.
Yeah.
Because from his church, the first church here in the South Bay area, sprung up all other churches too. And so they were all lay ministers. None of them were, you know, originally ordained. And so there was about four or five of them, I think, huh?
Yeah, that was a big group.
Yeah. So it took a while before he became an ordained minister, but prior to that he was just in charge and, you know, and was the lay minister. And, yeah, so when they completed their courses, that's when I came here. Because my dad was an elder minister from the same church in New Zealand.
I see.
So we came here for the ordination of these ministers, and his dad was one of them.
Oh, so that was when he was being ordained, in 71.
Yeah, in 71.
Okay, well, so what was he doing? But he was still associated with the church way back since the
50s. Yeah, this is... Yeah, the church was way, you know, established way before.
I see.
Yeah, but see, like I said, when did he retire from the military?
62,
he retired?
Yeah.
And he went straight to work for Douglas, right?
Douglas Aircraft.
Yeah.
In Torrance.
And it took a while because then they purchased the property on Figueroa Street and held fundraisers to build their church. So, you know, it wasn't easy to become an ordained minister, mm-hmm. you know, per se.
It while took you're a trying while.
To, yeah, it took a while. But, you know, he finally
got his certificate and he blew it up like the spig.
Yeah, set his mind to it and, you know.
He blew it up.
Oh, God, yeah. The certificate was about like that, but when he got it, it was...
Did he hang it up somewhere?
Yeah, he put it right in front of our living room.
He sure did. I still remember. I wonder who has that. Yeah. And that's how we met when we came. When my dad and my parents, we came. Because my dad was like the representative from New Zealand.
And so why don't you tell me all about your family and their route and your route to the U.S.?
Yeah. Well, my parents were always in the ministry, you know, from day one. As a young man, when my dad attended Marist Brothers in Western Samoa, right out of that, and it's amazing because that's a Catholic school, mm-hmm. but they were that was the only school that was accepting non-Europeans. Because otherwise, the good schools, the government schools, the natives, so to speak, from the tent.
Natives, yeah.
Yeah. You had to have part English blood in you to attend those schools. So the only schools that would take the natives would be the Catholic schools, or you had to attend the village schools, you know, and the local pastor of the village, you know, taught them the ABCs and whatever, you know. So he attended Marist Boys, and out of that he went right into the church school, you know, our own church school.
I think your grandfather had a lot of influence on that.
A lot of influence.
Grandfather was her grandfather's a minister also.
Mm-hmm. So long line, you know, of ministers. And great-grandfather, yeah, was a minister. So, yeah, and so Dad was always in the ministry, you know. And he took care of two villages before he decided to go to New Zealand and get an education. I don't think my dad's heart was really into the church. I think he was always...
Trying to get away from it.
I think he was really forced into it because of tradition, you know. And plus he was the eldest. And he saw the opportunity when he had some differences with the church people. And he took that opportunity to leave. And for a long time he wasn't on speaking terms with his parents, as you know. But I knew that was his way out to take us to New Zealand. That was in 1953. And from what I hear, because I was a baby, well, a year and a half, from what I hear, we also went on the seaplanes. I guess that was the way of traveling back in those days. And
yeah, no airports in the island.
Yeah. So there was two brothers. No, there was an older sister who was an adopted sister, and three brothers and myself, and my mom. My dad was already, in New Zealand. He went to New Zealand in 1952. And then he sent for us.
And he was a minister, though, in New Zealand.
Nope.
Oh, he didn't?
Nope. He went to New Zealand, that was it. He took off his robes and went and took I don't know what was his first job. I never didn't ask. But after that, he got into the post office. So the Samoan Church in New Zealand was established in too, I believe.
So on the same time.
Yeah. You know, so prior to that, yeah.
Okay. So your dad was at the post office.
Yeah. Well, the church was established 62. Prior to that, he was working 10 years for the post office. You know what? He probably went straight away and worked for the post office because he made 10 years and then he quit to go full-time into the ministry when they asked him.
So he was still going to church and then he again became a minister in New Zealand?
Yeah, because there was already an established Pacific Island community in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, a lot of the... of the Pacific Islands were under New Zealand,
right.
You know. So, like you have the Niue Islands, the Cook groups, the Tongan, Samoa, Tokelau group. So they were already established in New Zealand, and they had a church there, a congregational church, off Pacific Island. And so,
PICC,
yeah,
right?
It was called the PICC, Pacific Island Congregational Church. And so that was close by to where we were living. And so, you know, my parents attended that church. And right away, they used him as a assistant minister for the Samoan group. And he became very active in the church.
Even though he'd been trying to get away?
Yes.
It's amazing that he couldn't get away from it, huh? You know, and I heard this all when he passed away, and everybody that came, you know, were talking, reminiscing about it, and it was a shock to me. I did not know he was active in that church. All I knew was he became active when he, you know, took over the, became the minister for the Samoan church.
Wasn't he the secretary of the
PICC? He was the secretary of the whole PICC group. And like I said, he was just active. And then when a group of Samoans got together and decided to establish a Samoan congregational church and to break away from this, you know, whole Pacific Island group, they had some names. I guess there were several names that they had put into the election box, and my dad's name was one of them. And, you know, he won the election to be the minister, and he did not turn it down. You know, and that was, what, 10 years, 10 years.
So what year was that?
That was 62.
62.
Yeah, 62, because I remember our church dedication was in, let me see, it was in, I think 66 was our church dedication.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so can you talk about when you first came to the States?
So, okay, when I first came to the States was in 1971. For that for that conference.
Church conference.
The church conference. And I met, you know, him because his dad was one of the ministers. And that was a long story. We got lost on the freeway. We were supposed to go to
Tell
live.
Me about it.
We were supposed to go and live and stay with my dad's cousin here in Carson. And then contact his father to let him know, because his father was coordinating all the outside visitors. And so he was supposed to contact his dad to say, okay, we're here and blah, blah. And then he was going to come on his own and leave my dad and my mom and me with the family, right? But instead, the taxi was going round and round and round and couldn't find the street where, you know, my aunt was at. So my dad was frustrated because by this time we were circling Carson almost 2 hours, because it's one of those streets, huh? It was one. Yeah. It wasn't on the map.
Unincorporated area.
Right, and the poor taxi driver was so, you know, was so frustrated, and my mother was almost hysterical. First time she'd seen a black man, and the taxi driver happened to be, you know, a black man, and she was getting hysterical in the back seat. She kept tapping my dad's shoulder. Where's he taking us? You know, speaking in Samoan, and my dad kept turning around, have faith, don't worry, no, don't worry. You know, he's okay, the poor man, he's lost. And, oh, my mother was near tears, you know, and I'm just sitting there just going, okay. You know? So finally, my dad told the taxi driver, look, I have a friend, you know, a fellow minister here, that maybe you should just take us there and he'll, you know, contact our family. Well, the minister happened to be Junior's father. So, you know, we pull up into this big old parking lot, and I remember my brother-in-law passed away. Harry was the one that opened the door and let us in, and they were having a church bingo game at the time. So I sent somebody over to the church hall to let them know that there's a minister from New Zealand. And I remember when I opened my mouth to say, "Is this the Reverend Foisea's house?" You know, I mean, because I know I must have had a real heavy accent then. You know, I've lost it now. But I mean, his brother's mouth just opened and looked at me like, "Where's she from?" You know, from outer space. Because I guess I hadn't had any contact with any people from New Zealand, you know, Samoans, right? So, I mean, he just totally freaked out when I talked to him. So, sent somebody over, and your parents came out, and but they all knew each other when they have conferences in the islands, you know. So greeted each other, you know, and joyously, and straight away got the junior sisters to cook up and prepare some dinner for us, you know, the overseas guests. And I remember he came in like maybe an hour after we had arrived, you know, with his books under his arm, you know, just striding through. And the mother said, "Oh, and that's our oldest son there, you know, Junior." And I remember him looking at us like, "Who are these people?" You know, he just had that look on his face. You know, I always remind him of that. So it was funny.
Little did I know.
Yeah. So, you know, it was really strange. But anyways, another reason why I'm an only girl, and my parents had informally adopted a cousin as a daughter of theirs, and she left, you know. I mean, it wasn't a very happy, you know, reason for her leaving, but she left us when I was still, maybe when I was about 6 years old. I remember she ran away from home, and now I just grew up by myself, you know, and my brother's an only girl, but I had gotten into trouble, and I was pregnant at the time when we came here. And that was another reason why my parents wanted to bring me, take me away from New Zealand, and leave me with this family here in the States. So when I came here, I was 7 months pregnant. And you couldn't tell, you know. First pregnancy, and I guess, you know, and I guess I covered it real well.
But you were half your size you are now.
Well, yeah, but still, quiet. We're being recorded.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was off.
You can't say these personal things, but I'm trying to give the history because, you know, my son was born here. Okay. And he would come and visit me. I mean, it ended up not staying with the family we were supposed to come, but we met my uncle, who happened to be married to Junior's mother's sister, an auntie. And this uncle of mine is a first cousin to my mother. And, you know, we didn't know they were here. And lo and behold, they were here. And we were also, you know, staying with other family members. And so I ended up staying with them when my parents went back to New Zealand. I ended up staying with them. And he would come and visit. And, you know, I mean, we shared the same family. So it was nothing for us to, you know, become friends and stuff. And he was always very good to me, you know.
Still is.
Supplying me with letters and, you know, mailing my letters back to family. And, you know, so it was a real good relationship that developed out of that. And I gave birth at Harbor General Hospital in May of 71. And it was a boy. And he would always come and take care of us, you know, just come and make sure, you know, we needed anything and stuff. And then I had a cousin that came over to be with me and help take care of, you know, the baby while I try and pursue other, you know, things in life, like going back to school and stuff. And being an only girl, my brothers wanted me back home. So I went back home. My two brothers came back and, you know, they forgave me for what had happened, because, you know, back in those days still it still wasn't acceptable, you know, I guess, not so much like nowadays. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I went back, you know, went back with my brothers and my mother and baby, and in 72. And
how old are you?
20.
20.
Yeah. Right, 72. And he came in 73, huh? we carried on a good relationship. We would write to each other and everything, you know. And
call Collect?
I would call him Collect and everything. And it's just amazing, you know, it just developed, you know, our relationship, you know, just developed out of this friendship, this close friendship, you know, and never would have thought it at first, you know. And he came over and talked to my parents and stuff, and, you know, we decided we'd get married, and that was in 72, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, in August we got engaged, and then June of 73 we got married.
And she's still my best friend.
June of 73 we got married. And and because of papers and immigration stuff, I couldn't come here until 74. And I was supposed to bring my son, you know, because he had, you know, developed this closeness with him, and my son always was close to him, you know, even as a little kid, you know. And it's really funny, I guess kids just, you know, feel that, you know, that care, you know, that loving care for them. But my parents wouldn't let him go. They became attached to him, and they would not let him go. So he stayed back.
Battle.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It would have been like I would have hurt them twice, right, you know, if I had taken him. So rather than do that, you know, and yeah, I left him. And, you know, despite his protest, I left him. And came here, and so we have four kids of our own, and you know, it's amazing because my son came and wanted to stay with us later on, and he finished his high school over here, and he's back in New Zealand now with a little boy. Come on in, Mrs. Foisia.
Ah, hello. I'm gonna pause in a second. So we're going again.
Yeah. So let me see.
But so you came back to the States.
Right.
And
yeah. Yeah. By that time. You know, I can close it now because she's here, huh? Because I can't.
What did you do after you finished high school?
I finished high school and I went into the military in 63 and graduated in 62. And I joined the Army in 63 and saw the world.
Did you go to Vietnam?
No. I was in Germany at the time.
Okay.
So, at that time I was kind of worried maybe I wouldn't get out of the service. But amazingly, you know, 66, it wasn't that bad. In fact, just before I got out of the military, I lost a cousin in Vietnam. He was in the Marine Corps. But as far as for us in Germany, it was really hardly nothing.
Mm-hmm. So what were you doing after you finished the military?
Well, I finished the military, I came home and did a year at Harvard College. Then I got a job with United Airlines. And I've been there ever since.
What do you do there?
Rent service for United. Yeah. Well, it gets us around. That's how we're able to visit our family in New Zealand, Samoa.
That's what I wanted to ask you. How did it strike you when you first came to California, or Southern California?
Southern California. Well, like I said, the first thing that I saw that was the black Americans, because we don't see them in New Zealand, and it was a real eye opener. It was like, a black man, you know, I mean, that's exactly how my reaction. And guns. Police officers back home don't carry guns, and so that was real scary. And then just the size, just the hugeness of this place, it was like, whoa, it's like something out of the movies, you know. I was just so fascinated. Yeah, and then hearing people speak their own language, because in New Zealand, it's so rude when you speak your own language. I guess, we call the white folks over there Europeans. I don't know why, but that's the term that is used in New Zealand for, you know, for white people. They're called Europeans. And they look at you real strange if you speak in your own language. And so, you know, you grew up and it's like, and like even in school, you know, you don't speak your own language, you get told off. So it's like, you know, you have to whisper to each other if you want to speak your own language. But when I came here, boy, I heard all these languages flowing backwards and forwards. I mean, and nobody turns a head. So that was another thing that really got me. Yeah.
it's just freeways. Oh my goodness, I thought I was going to die when I'm on the freeways over here. Whoa, back home it's just like two lanes, you know. Television, all these channels on TV. Just last year we got our third channel in New Zealand. And about, what, 5 years before that we had our second channel, right?
Yeah, but it didn't run all day.
But we still don't have 24-hour TV. Yeah, it finishes at 12 o'clock at night.
Before that, it was early.
Yeah, before that, it was 10 o'clock. TV goes off. Only one channel. So we're very...
But the good thing about it is good for advertisements, because everybody watched it, no matter if it's boring or not.
Yeah, it was just, well, it's TV. You sit there glued, you know, boring documentary. You just sit there and look at it. So, yeah, those are the things that really struck me.
So we should go to Kia?
Oh, Kia.
Okay, if you could just start by introducing who you are and when you came to the U.S.